Greetings, flesh wound horror freaks, and welcome to episode 5 of our Masters of Horror retrospective. We are now in season 2. We hope you guys are having a very happy Halloween, and we hope you've been enjoying these as much as we've enjoyed revisiting them. I am Daniel Shine, joined as always by Todd Loya, Pugs Dread,
Namaste,
and Mike Kruger.
What's up, guys?
And so we're in season 2 now. I'm pretty psyched to review these. There were a couple here that I didn't remember as well. So
I was gonna say, with this batch, like, I know I've watched the first season at least 3 times, like, easy, because I know I watched them when they came out, when they hit DVD, when the Blu-rays came out. So were these, I think I watched them when they aired, and that's about it. I don't remember revisiting them all when they hit DVD, or and they never hit Blu-ray. So it was almost a new season to me, because I remembered about half.
Yeah, especially, like you said, the Blu-rays only for season 1, and there was less revisiting. I had them all on DVD, of course, because I bought them all. But all right,
gotta make sure everyone knows that.
Absolutely. Our first episode from Toby Hooper, The Damned Thing. This one, an apocalyptic tale of a monstrous force which devastates Sheriff Kevin Reddle's family and his small Texas town. Sheriff Reddle thinks there's a connection between the mysterious invisible force which made his father kill his mother back in 1981, and he sets out to uncover and stop the so-called damned thing before it decimates the entire town by forcing the residents to kill each other and then finally themselves. All right, so this one, wow, did Toby bring the gore. In this one, there are multiple holy shit moments.
Cannibal Corpse is proud of this episode.
Yes, they are. They sure as hell are.
I do want to throw out, because we didn't say it at the top, these episodes are available to view for free on Tubi.
Yes.
And IMDb TV, which you can also watch IMDb. Thank you. TV on Amazon with the app. You can watch it through there and watch it free also.
Absolutely. So again, I'm reminded that Sean Patrick Flannery deserves the fame that Norman Reedus got, because he's actually a much better actor.
Like, fuck one of your exes or what?
Thank you. I was like, did he like note? He like wouldn't sign like some racist on his barrel picture.
He's a very nice guy. He's just not a very good actor. He really isn't. He's not a very diverse actor. He's a guy who stumbled into 2 very iconic roles.
Yeah, no offense, but I don't think you should be talking about anybody's acting.
Fair enough. But. Yeah.
I'm going to go with, in a fight to the survival, I would root for Mitch Bauer.
So there you go. So that's what I'm saying. Imagine taking Daryl away and inserting Mitch Bauer into the story.
Okay, I'm trying to help you.
most of the iconic characters would still be alive.
I would have seen Mitch Bauer as a Boondock Saint.
Why don't you just dress him up like Mitch Bowers and have me fucking fight him? Like, let's do it.
Mitch Bowers, awesome. I did. Yeah, I'm just saying. Sean Patrick Flannery.
Say Mitch Bauer can kick my ass, but let's get back on topic.
I'm not saying that at all. All right. So, Kruger, what did you think of The Damned Thing?
Thank you, Daniel. I loved this episode. Like, I honestly, I wasn't really expecting that much, because the Toby Hooper episode in season 1 was, you know, okay. But this really hit like all the notes for me. There's just really good CG in it that surprised me. Like, you know, I'm always the guy talking shit about CGI, but the one thing I will say is, for this being, you know, what was this made? 2006, 2007? So that time period for the CGI was really quality. Like, we get pretty cool little CGI monster at the end that looked really good. But like you said, the gore on this is top notch. There's some brutal fucking scenes in it. Especially this one hammer scene that was just like, what the fuck? That is my
fucking jam, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just want to see like that scene with Cannibal Corpse playing in the background. Like you said, like,
I want to see our friend Caesar reenacting that.
It'll probably help at this point.
He finishes, and it's just like Antonio Banderas.
I also have to say the priest, Sam Raimi as the priest was pretty awesome too. Or sorry, Ted Raimi.
Ted.
Yeah, wrong one. It would have been cool if Sam was too, I guess.
As a big Ted Raimi fan, that is what made me absolutely fall in love with this episode, was his fucking over-the-top character. Yeah. Like, anytime he plays an over-the-top character, it's good. Like, I think Ted Raimi, honestly, is a very, very underrated actor.
I agree.
He is, yeah. Skinner, if you want to see him in a featured
role. I love Skinner, bro.
Yeah, that was underrated movie. Goddamn. I mean, the torso, I was surprised because I remember hearing about this one. It sounded like, you know, kind of like a standard Stephen King type story. I was not expecting it to be as gory as it was, like, at all.
Fucking swear. Someone told Toby, he's like, oh, you don't have it anymore. He's like, oh, yeah, fucking here's a big old dick. Look at it, enjoy it, because he brought the shit this time.
He did. This is around. You know, really, this is probably the goriest thing, arguably, that he's done, because, you know, Texas Chainsaw Massacre is not a gore fest. You know, he's not really a gore director, but goddamn, he brought it here. What did you think, Bugs? Because yeah, this is.
Oh, this is fucking fantastic.
Yeah.
Like, this dude loves his family. They may or may not love him back. He's just trying hard to, like, help everybody survive. And all these fucking townspeople are, like, putting all this pressure on him. And he's been telling them this whole time, like, hey, this shit's going down. I don't know what to do. So, yeah, it's a fucking very compelling story. But, my God, the gore.
Yeah.
Bravo, sir. Bravo. That hammer.
Yeah, the hammer. Oh. The hammer's the, yeah.
But that car crash, too. Dude, oh, go ahead, Kruger.
Or the forehead, like, thing when he's, like, hallucinating was so fucking gross. I was like, oh.
And a priest fucking taking somebody out that way? Yes. We need more of that.
Almost made me find religion.
Yeah, there was a lot of channeling of Benoit going on in this. But what did you think, Todd?
Yeah, I'm also counting on as a fan of this one. This was the superior of the two Toby Hooper episodes. I know people give him shit on his later stuff. Dan's going to start crying about Jen again. But he still had it. It's just, you know, let him do something, you know. Give him some free reign and you get something like this.
Yeah, I think that's one of the cool things about Masters of Horror in general. You can see, you know, a lot of the guys got to make stuff that just couldn't be made as a feature, and we got some pretty unique stories.
And sometime like this when Mick Garris gives you the story.
Yeah.
He's credited as screenwriter on it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the story is...
Oh, no, I'm sorry. He's only credited as creator on this, so that's just series creator. The actual story was Richard Christian Matheson.
Oh, Richard Matheson. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I thought this was excellent. This is another one where I kind of wanted even more. I wanted Flannery to just at the end just go, I was the young Indiana Jones, bitch, and then just start shooting at the creature. But yeah, nonetheless. All right, well, let's rate this one. The story's not the most unique thing in the world, but this is a ton of fun. Could have used a little more development, I think, but 4.5 for me. It's a great episode, and a 5 for the gore. What say you, Todd?
I'm a 4.
Cool.
I would hammer myself in the face if I didn't get a 5 just for that. Oh. So 5.
Yeah, and I'm a 4.2. I probably could have went a little bit higher, but you know, again, like I said, the CG was good. Doesn't necessarily mean I loved it. So, yeah. But overall, definitely one of the best episodes so far.
Absolutely, yeah. And I choose to remember this is what he went out on and not.
Dan, still, Dan, just let it go.
I can't let it go.
Leave the dead poor man alone, you motherfucker.
Yeah, sometimes you take a job to get paid, Dan.
I know. I can still.
But oh God, no! Dan's sad. It was his last movie. Well,
also, shut the fuck up about it. Got a fucking tremendous performance out of a mannequin named Sherry Moon. So yeah, he's awesome.
Toolbox Murders is fucking awesome. So yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, that's a separate debate, but yeah, it is. All right. So moving on to our next one, which I'm very excited to talk about. It was always one of my personal favorites, and we'll see if it still
is. It Danley?
What?
Danley?
Shut up, Todd. All right. So all he wanted was just – oh, I was going to make a bad Cheers joke, but I'm not. All right. So our next one is from John Landis. I don't know why I'm laughing already. And this one is Family.
Which he separated a bunch of.
God damn, bro.
He made for some sad Thanksgivings.
I'm not going to make any Colby jokes either. I'm just saying, where was John Landis? That's all I'm going to say.
God damn.
Yes.
Do you think when Max disappointed him, he ever just was like, it should have been you that was hit by the helicopter, you little bastard. Never mind. That's
a lot of fucking money. Hush money.
Allegedly. Oh, damn. All right. Okay. We're fucking terrible people. All right. So, yes.
Yeah, because we're the ones doing this to these poor ladies. Okay. Anyway.
Jesus. All right. Family. So, Harold seems like the neighbor anyone would like to have. He is quiet and keeps to himself. Unfortunately, he is a serial murderer and psychopath who sets his sights on a young married couple who move across the street from him. Moreover, the young married couple are not who they seem to be either. All right, so, family. Around this time, George Wendt had an interesting little career. I don't want to say revival, but he started doing a lot of horror movies. It wasn't unusual for him because, of course, you had House, but he was popping up in like King of the Ants from Stuart Gordon, which is amazing.
Not necessarily a horror film.
Well, well, some people would say dark drama, but I'm going to say horror film. And showing a totally different side of himself. I mean, he wasn't just Norm anymore, which I thought was really cool.
To be fair, he was never just Norm. He was a stage actor that got pigeonholed in that role because of.
He's capable.
Yeah, he's always. Well, you're making it like it was a surprise.
God damn it, he's not Norman Reedus. George Wendt was awesome. George Wendt should have been fucking Daryl.
Beat your ass.
George Wendt could have been Daryl. Imagine George Wendt as fucking Daryl.
You know what's annoying?
I do want to see.
My mute button has a lag today, so it just kept going and going and going.
But I would like to see Michael Rourke team up with him in a new family movie. That would be kind of cool.
His brother Merle shows up and finds the bodies. All right, so Kruger, first time watch. What did you think of Family?
I like this one a lot. I don't know George Wendt from Cheers. I know him from his minor characters in Joe Bigos' films. And was really happy, you know, to see him again. I love the story on this. When he's hallucinating, seeing his family his, you know, little fucked up family. I loved it. And then this has some good comedy, especially when he's like hallucinating what his neighbor, the wife of his neighbor, is saying to him. I love those scenes. This had some really gross ass gore with like melting off the flesh and muscle from a body that, you know, I'm pretty sure had some CGI in it, but looked, again, really, really fucking good. So I have no complaints from me there. And yeah, this is definitely one of my favorite episodes too. George Wendt is a really good actor, and I think this just shows how good he is. And I love the ending too. We get this like weird, like panning shot into like a throat screaming. And I don't want to like spoil anything, but it was really cool way to end the episode. So
yeah.
I think my favorite part is when he was, like you said, hallucinating. It's like, I bet you've got a big.
Of course, it's your fucking favorite part.
He started scratching his ear. What was that again?
I'm deaf in this ear.
What'd you think, Bugs?
I think this is outstanding. I want him to be my neighbor. Like, he just seems like the perfect neighbor. Most of those people are. Anytime you have like a Jeffrey Dahmer disposal scene with fucking gospel music, yeah, I'm in. This is fucking cool. Then he goes, and I love his family. I love all the arguments he has, and then that reveal at the end.
Yeah,
yeah.
Fucking like, okay, I just totally switched teams. This is amazing. however, I do have one complaint. Without spoiling it, the reason they meet him is a little forced now that you
can, yeah,
once that happens. But overall, it was a fucking great, great entry in the series.
That was my only complaint, because we get like their perspective during the opening, so it doesn't work when you rewatch. I'm just going to come out and say it. John Landis killed it. So I love this episode. It's just, it hits the humor. It's got the gore. It's got a great ending. It's got a good twist. There's nothing about this one I didn't like, other than the one thing that Pug mentioned and I agreed with. Mm-hmm. But I can let that go, because I do really enjoy this one.
You know how I would have ended it? Or not ended it. You could have ended it this way.
Can we go one episode without fantasy booking from Dan?
Because this is awesome. So he gets.
I would have changed one thing myself. She would not have been a smoker.
So he like wanders into like the Cheers bar with the theme playing, and you have cameos as like bodies.
Okay, there.
I've never seen an episode of Cheers, and like, I'm happy I haven't. And Dan, you just keep adding shit to the list, bro.
What the, it would be funny.
I actually do want to see that one, since he's like, no, he's not the mailman. But I want to see the mailman take out everybody, so maybe not.
But yeah, man, Wendt, creepy. I mean, it's also obviously a lighter, funnier episode too, but there's some pretty creepy moments, especially when he's parked outside the school. I was like, wow, this isn't so funny anymore. This is kind of fucked up. But yeah, I'm a huge fan. I hope we see more like leading roles like this. Wasn't he, Todd, correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't he supposed to be the vice president, I think, in House of Reanimator?
I know he was supposed to have a part in there. I don't remember if he was the vice president.
That's fucking cool.
But I mean, like, he tends to, like, Stuart Gordon tends to like using, you know, same people that he likes. And I do believe he was, I don't know if he was vice president, but I know he was supposed to be in it.
Yeah, so the best movie never made, unfortunately.
He would have played Dick Cheney?
Basically, yeah. You can kind of see, because Macy was the president, so you can kind of see a version of that. All right, so on this one, I'm a 4.5. It's close to perfect. I love it. What say you, Todd?
I'm a 5. I really like this one.
Nice.
I'm a 5 as well. This is a serial killers. Like, that's me. Yeah.
cool.
Now I'm a 4.5 out of the two John Landis episodes. I prefer the Dear Woman, but this is still great stuff. And John Landis kills at making episodes.
and everything.
That should be a shirt. Oh.
Can you imagine a high, like, let the bodies hit the floor and then they all of it's like,
God.
Then you like ran.
Did we watch that, the E True Hollywood Story? I'm trying to remember.
We did.
That was, yeah. The trial is awesome.
The party after.
I know. Dan still has issues with that. Okay, let me ask you this, Kruger. If you just basically get a slap on the wrist for murdering a couple people, are you going to go have a party and celebrate? Yay, I'm not in prison?
Fuck no.
See, I'm the other way. I'm fucking having a big ass party. I'm not going.
No, if I'm doing that, I'm like, I'm going home, getting drunk by myself, and like counting my blessings.
Okay. I'm fucking. We're having a party.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought that was kind of sleazy, but yeah.
And, like, God, me and Dan agree on something. What I the know. Fuck?
He's gonna remember they weren't really people, and then he's gonna change his mind.
All right, so moving on to...
Man, I feel like I got to cut that one.
God's a piece of shit now. I guess I've
been putting Landis over on this one, so I kind of, yeah.
All right, so moving on to our third film episode. This time from Ernest Dickerson, The V Word. Two curious teen boys break into an old mortuary looking for thrills, only to find themselves stalked by a former teacher who is a very real vampire looking to increase the ranks of the undead. So I was really excited for this one. Demon Knight is one of the best horror movies of the 90s. I've always loved Demon Knight. I think Bones is a lot of fun, too. And Ernest Dickerson, of course, also tons of episodes of Walking Dead now. I mean, definitely a true master of the genre.
Well, I'm gonna give him love on his very first film, not horror, but that is Juice, the Tupac Shakur.
There we go. So I had high expectations for V Word. I'll be honest, this one kind of sucks. There's not a whole lot to it for me. But maybe I'm alone on this. I don't know.
I thought I was going to be alone.
So did I. So
this is the worst episode.
Yeah, okay.
The first act had potential. Everything mm-hmm. after that fucking sucked dick. I didn't mean to cut you off, Kruger, but like, yeah, I'm glad we're almost on the same page here.
Yeah, no, I was especially with the opening on like a dude playing Doom, I was really excited as fuck, like honest to God.
I was laughing and, like, at the computers from that era.
Well, that's the only thing, like the only reason my rating is even as high, and it's not high at all, don't get me wrong, but the only reason my rating is as high as it is because of the decapitation, and then it's a product of its time, so it was nice seeing like Doom 3 and the Xbox 360 and the old computers and all that shit.
Yeah, and it's just like they don't develop anything particularly well. I mean, all the elements are there for you to have more empathy for some of the characters, you know, trying to help his sister. I mean, Michael Ironside, I mean, Jesus is a, you know, I don't want to spoil too much, but is a very, you know, creepy human turned vampire. That all the elements were there, but it's just like they really just kind of fucked it up. There's a bit of suspense at the beginning when they first go into the mortuary, and that's about it. I'll be honest, the rest of it is just you know, certain characters are turned a little bit too quickly, and it just doesn't flow right. And the teen actors are not particularly good. And then a real groaner of a line when he copies the "I don't drink wine." I was like, oh, it's not funny. It's not good.
I know why Pugs hated this one, because it's Spike Lee's go-to cinematographer.
Oh, I'm sure that didn't help.
Visuals, like the trippy visuals we got, like weren't good or scary or any. It was just like, what the fuck?
I'm telling you guys, like right after the first act, after they're done breaking into that place, I just did not care.
Yeah,
I checked yeah. out. The rest of the time sucked.
Yeah,
I got nothing else nice to say. So I'll
just yeah. So are we all in agreement? This is the worst episode of the series thus far.
Yeah, poorly developed yes. characters, not much of a story to speak of,
and the potential was there. I think that's what hurts me the most because yeah. I was invested. And these two little dudes going to that scary ass place.
And yeah, that's all gone. so yeah, I was surprised. I figured you would have a line to quote when he says to his friend, "Your family looks like rejects from Good Times."
That, I was like, wow.
So yeah, guys, this one's just a very blah. Vampire episode with nothing much to it. Couple good effects, but other than that, I just give it a one. It's not very good. What say you, Todd?
Yeah, I'm going to be generous and give it a one, too.
I'm sorry, Michael Ironside. It's a one for me as well.
I'm actually going to go a little bit higher because the decapitation I really did like, but I'm a 1.5.
Cool.
Fuck
this one.
Yeah, fuck this one in the mouth. Apparently, I wasn't sure. They might like it a little more than me. But
no, this one was definitely like one of the episodes where I was like, "Fuck!" Like I kept checking how much time was left on it. I was like, "God, let this fucker end."
Yeah.
Do I need to watch the whole thing to review it, or do I have enough information?
Dude, it was going through my head too, Pugs. It's okay.
All right. So, our last one for the evening comes from director Brad Anderson. And this one is Sounds Like. All right. So, Larry is deeply affected by a personal tragedy. And off his throne, he comes to realize his sense of hearing has taken on extraordinary capabilities that could drive him insane. All right, so Kruger, what did you think of this one?
I liked it. It wasn't my favorite episode, but it's definitely good. The guy who played Larry, I think, is a really good actor, and I liked watching his descent into madness. I thought, you know, he played when he was going crazy. It was believable. And I also felt for him. The story, you know, was compelling enough to, you know, make me feel sorry for him. And I hated his wife. His wife is such a fucking annoying bitch. I was, you know, I'm glad she got hers. But the only thing I'll have to say about this is, like, this is probably the least amount of gore in an episode we've seen so far.
Yeah.
There really isn't like any like gross over the top, you know, kills or anything like that. This is more of a psychological, you know, horror, but it doesn't mean it's not good. And definitely watch it for, you know, the guy who played Larry's performance.
Yeah, he was really good in True Blood as well. What did you think, Pugs?
Well, first off, I think a deprivation tank would do this guy some good. just like Daredevil, that shit.
I wanted to build one when I saw Stranger Things, and I was like, a little more complicated. Plus, I think a few $1,000 to do a proper one.
You just lie in the tub with... Anyway. yeah, this is a good story. I felt really bad for this man. And like, I know the wife cared too, but like, this hurt him way more than it did her. And I don't know. I felt really bad for him. I don't think he was. I felt bad. That's all I can say. He did a very good fucking job. And then everyone just started shitting on him. Although his solution to his problem, I don't think it works that way. But, no. That last scene, though, where he's like holding the boat. I'm like, oh, man, that's this heartbreaking.
Yeah.
I liked it.
What'd you think, Todd?
I actually really like this one too, but first, since like Dan totally blew by it, and like, you know, he's like, oh, from director Brad Anderson, which some people are like confused. Brad Anderson, Master of Horror? Who the fuck's that? Dan.
Session 9.
Hey, thank you. That would have been a good thing to lead with, but Anyway.
Well, the Machinist also, which he had done at that point. So, yeah.
Yeah, which would have been good to mention when you say Brad Armstrong or Brad Anderson, Master of Horror.
Wow, what a shot against the great Brad Armstrong.
That you took?
Yeah, right?
Brad Anderson.
Yes, okay.
Anderson. Mr. Anderson.
God damn it.
I was going Matrix.
Dan's muted. He got, that was his little bit of wrestling. That's all he gets. I actually like this one a lot. It's not as horror as a lot of them, but coming from Brad Anderson, it kind of makes sense. He's not like, you know, big over the top. I actually really like this one. It's a smaller, like, it's not a super horror one, but like, I don't want to give too much away, but the maggots in the mouth, I thought was really cool when that's, you know.
So how long has that been there?
Right. but yeah, overall, I do actually like this one. The performances and everything.
When he was about to get Me Too'd or spoke out against, I'm like, oh man, dude, yeah. He's going through a loss.
Yeah.
That poor guy sweating on the bench, though. Oh. So my only real criticism of this episode is it felt like it almost would have worked better as like a 22-minute Twilight Zone episode. I liked it a lot. And Chris Bauer, again, great actor, always kind of the more comedic guy on True Blood. Cool, always cool seeing him flex his acting muscles a little more with something like this. It is kind of your standard descent into madness. I could see some people watching this one and feeling maybe the same, that it's a little repetitive at times, and it would have worked a little bit better as a short. But having said that, this is one I remember being a little indifferent to it back then, and now watching it again, it's like, okay, this is actually a pretty good episode. And it makes sense, because if you look at I would kind of consider Machinist to be Brad Anderson's like true masterpiece. You can definitely see he has a certain style that he favors. And yeah, the man that he almost killed Christian Bale almost killed Christian Bale on that movie. So if you haven't seen The Machinist,
his diet was an apple and a can of tuna a day.
Oh, dude.
That was it.
The footage of him from that. I mean, that had to be freaky to make that movie with him. It's like, dude, like, here's a sandwich. Please eat it. I can't look at you.
They would have yelled at you, but that's a whole nother. So what did you give this one, Dan?
I went off on a machinist rant. I give this one, like I said, I'll give this one 3 out of 5. I could have gone higher. Like I said, the story kind of runs out of steam a little bit. But yeah, 3 out of 5.
I disagree with it really running out of steam, because the character's really likable and it keeps going. It's somewhat...
Well, the gore is at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And but overall, I actually do really like this. I'm a 4 on this one.
Oh, sweet. Okay.
I'm actually a 4 as well. I liked him enough and I cared about him enough to give it that high.
Sweet.
And I'm a 3.5 myself. I'm definitely going to check out the Brad Anderson's movies now, because I did, you know, enjoy it, but not my favorite Masters of Horror episode.
Okay. Yeah. All of his movies are a little very slower paced, psychological. Session 9 was what put him on the map. And then, yeah, Machinist is really good. So
I've never seen either one.
Oh, sweet. Well, then you're in for a treat.
That's good.
Do we want to do any spoilers on anything today? Well, more direct spoilers. I know we minor spoilers.
I don't really have any spoilers, but if you guys do, just let me know.
No, neither do I.
Nothing.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? I do. Yeah.
Okay. Well. All right.
Sorry, family. I think it's worth going over.
Yeah, we'll do that. Okay. Well, come back next week, and you'll get more Masters of Horrors. We've got 3 more next week. Since Dan doesn't give a shit and didn't wish you a happy Halloween, I will. Happy Halloween.
I did at the beginning, sir. I said, I hope you're enjoying
Halloween. Was that this one? I'm not even sure.
I did. Indeed, okay. Sir. God damn it. And I'll say it again. I hope you have a happy Halloween. I hope Todd gets a jack-o'-lantern through the eyeball.
How are you going to get a jacket?
How that was the dumbest shit you've said.
Boom.
Give me a little one. A pumpkin seed?
Dan, I hope you get a jaculin in your eye. So there we go. We'll just move on.
All right. So spoiler warning now. Spoiler warning and probably worse John Landis joke warning. So, all right. You know.
So if you're still listening, it's on you guys. We warned you.
Yeah, yeah, these are all older, so we're a little less, little lax. All right, Pugs, with family, you said?
Yeah, so he ended up killing these people's daughter and making him one of his family members. And you think he might recognize who these people were, but whatever. That's all I wanted to say was, like, that's a big reveal. My kid was killed by cancer, and you're the cancer? Okay.
Not necessarily, because if he did it, like, the way he was, like, pulling up at school and just nabbed.
But you know what? You don't think he's going to be keeping an eye in the papers and shit for stuff?
Yeah, they're going to be all over TV, like Madeline McCann and JonBenet Ramsey. They're going to be accused of doing it. Actually, that'd be kind of a cool story where it ends up being like, you know what? I'm going to save that. Maybe I'll write it down. Yeah, I thought that was a pretty cool reveal. But then also ties into the problem that Todd and I had. And like, well, were they really drunk driving and then accidentally hit their cool ass mailbox? Probably not. Yeah. So we didn't really need to see that. But well, that's it.
Yeah. So,
yeah, that was a really good episode. John Landis knows.
He knows horror.
There you go. Getting Away with Murder can be his like highlight song.
Yeah. Now they kind of don't give.
Joking, by the way.
Now they really don't give a shit about Landis. I mean,
thank God for my kid. Take all the heat.
Good boy. Oh.
He executive produced in 2019. The movie I Hate Kids.
Oh, can you imagine working with a kid actor? Hey, kid, did you Google the Twilight Zone movie? Go ahead and
do it. Someone's backed up.
Well, we do have, he does do a Fear Itself episode we have to look forward to. Oh, he also did, and he also did a few episodes of Psych. And I don't know what the hell Burke and Hare is, but that looks like his last movie.
I hope he's not allowed to work like the drone.
Oh, that's the one with oh fuck yeah, the one with Simon Pegg.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to see him do a reboot of Airwolf.
Okay, can I pull the spoiler gimmick?
Yes.
I think I'm done.
Yeah. John Landis, Airwolf.
All right, well, let's try this again.
Oh, all right. So, good night, guys. And Todd?
Oh, can I just put, like, fail on the screen?
I don't know what the fuck you want.
We know you don't know what to do, Dan. Okay, since Dan can't do it for Pugs.
Namaste. Later on, guys.
Kruger.
Stay sick.
Peace out, Dan.
Fuck you, Todd.
Pugs.
Follow, stalk us on all the bullshits. Stay black, y'all. Happy Halloween.
Stalk us on all the bullshits.